1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. We are rocking and rolling today. We've got a great crew. Only one vet, and only nominally so, veteran of the show, Polo's in the house.
Yes, sir.
We also got Abby, and we got Taylor. What good-looking married people over there. They're killing it. They're experts in today's topic, which is looking for love in all the right places, so we didn't have to pay for the copyright on that. I like that. That's really cool. Really excited about today. We are going to get to five fun facts here in a second, but first we got to open it up as we do all things in prayer. And Taylor, I'm going to nominate you. Would you mind leading us in prayer? I feel like you do this a lot. You got I Can Pray face.
All right, you know what? Let's go for it.
All right, I can't wait.
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given us and for the gift of life. And Lord, we just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit down upon us wherever we're at. Just help us grow closer to you. And in a special way, Lord, we just pray for all of us here, all of us listening. Lord, just help us to grow closer to your most sacred heart. And we ask all of this through your most holy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's really good.
Thank you.
So I've been told specifically and repeatedly by the powers that be to stop doing this. So I'm not going to give you a grade for your prayer. But if I were to give you a grade for your prayer, it would be like a 94.
Like, okay. Nice.
That's
good.
Like a mid-8.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. A really good prayer.
That is. Okay, I'll take it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I humbly accept it.
I got to interview Colonel Burke a while back, and I never in my life have had such a big temptation to give him a grade for his prayer. Because I don't do it on the show because I'm asked not to by the people in charge. But I want to. Regularly, and so anyway, didn't give you one, but had I. Pretty darn good.
Thank you.
A solid A. All right, guys, well, I'm excited. This is going to be a fun episode. I think this is the beginning. Is this the beginning of the series that we're doing, the dating series thing? Do you know? Producer Josh doesn't know? Okay, that's fine. I think it is. Janice isn't here today.
True, yeah.
I think it's the beginning of a series that we're doing on relationships and all of that good stuff. So I'm excited about this, but we can't talk about finding love in all the right places until we hear from all of you, because you all owe fun facts. Are you aware of this? You know the fun facts? Did anybody tell you this?
I'm ready now. Yeah,
okay.
I'm ready.
All right, Polo, technically, you should be the one, but you've been gone off the show so long that you've earned one back, so now you have to give us two.
Let's go.
And then if you guys can each give us two, that would be fantastic.
Oh, just two.
Just two. You can, do you have more than two? You can give us more than two.
Oh, no.
We can
I'm
going to
make Taylor tell my fun facts, and I'm going to tell Taylor's fun facts.
I love that idea. I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, so get ready.
Okay. Did you guys rehearse that? Or?
No.
This is live.
Yeah, we're
okay.
Yeah, we got it.
All right, super excited. What you got, Polo?
Okay, my first fun fact is that I've been taking Mandarin as of lately. I've been studying Mandarin Chinese.
No way.
Yeah. 你叫什么名字?
I'm glad you said that because you knew, like, the next thing I was going to say was, like, say stuff.
Yeah.
Say Chinese stuff, Polo. Say it. Prove it. I wouldn't know if you were making it up.
According to According to the app, it means, what is your name? 你叫什么名字?
My name, I feel like that's how I should respond, right? As if talking slower and louder will make people who don't speak my language speak it. That's really cool. Is that like a Duolingo thing? Or what?
No, it's a Learn Chinese thing. It's the name of the app that I'm learning.
Now, not to be like conspiratorial, but do you have like inside information about the future of the United States of America that's making you take Mandarin?
No.
Right? Oh, good. Okay.
No. I do it because I serve a lot of Chinese clients at the bank that I work at.
Oh, cool. Cool. That's cool. Yeah, that's legit.
What's a great motive?
Thank you. It's a way to welcome them because a lot of them are foreign students at the bank.
Oh, I bet they appreciate that.
I hope they do.
That's really nice.
Hey.
As opposed to, hello, my name is Polo, which would be offensive and inappropriate, I would argue. Yeah. Okay, cool. I like that. That was a really good fun fact. All right, what's your second one?
Thank you, John Henry. My second one is that at the time of recording, I'm part of YCP, which is the Young Catholic Professionals of Atlanta.
That's fantastic. And you have an incredible voice for radio.
Thank you, John
Henry. You have a good voice. He's killing it over there.
Thank you all.
Some people have it, some people don't. You definitely have it.
Shower affirmation.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. And you're really handsome.
Oh, thank you, John Henry.
I'm trying to think of what else. Your hair looks nice today. You're just killing it in general, bro. Keep it up. All right, what you got, Abby?
Okay.
That's a big one to follow.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Oh, you're doing Taylor's.
I'm going to do Taylor's, though, because I feel like I know more fun things about Taylor than myself. I don't know. Taylor's really good at ice skating.
Really?
Really good at ice skating.
I've never ice skated in my life.
Ice man.
Really? No, I mean, Taylor's weirdly good at ice skating, I think. Maybe, I don't know if you are anymore, but I like to think you are. I feel like it's like a muscle memory thing.
Yeah, I
feel like I don't think you stop being bad at ice skating once you got it, you know? That's one. I say you're really good at ice skating. And then the second thing is that Taylor helped co-author a textbook.
Oh.
Which is a very cool
What kind of textbook? I'll tell you.
So it was actually bioethics. Yeah.
No way.
Bioethics. Yeah.
That's neat.
That's pretty cool.
I took a bioethics class in college with Father Paul Burke.
Oh, nice.
Do you know Father Paul Burke?
That sounds really familiar.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I was literally on the phone with him one time. My wife was going into surgery, ectopic pregnancy stuff. It was awful, right? But I ended up calling him and like talking to him and the doctor like back and forth.
Whoa.
I mean, it was a wealth of like resource and knowledge having taken this class. And then, he's a good guy to have on speed dial. We're going to put his number in the show notes. Please don't put Father Paul.
But the other fun fact I remembered today was that we spent our 4th anniversary with you and your teens at the beach, and y'all carved a watermelon for us with our faces on it for our anniversary.
That was really fun. And I don't know if you remember this. The kids were really proud of this. They found an old spare key to something, and they wrote the key to Abby's heart.
Yes, that's right.
And gave that to you. That was really fun.
I think we had a picture on someone's phone of that, and I really think we should print
that
out
was
and frame it.
The like all night night where you guys went to bed because you had a baby.
Yes.
And
yeah.
The kids stayed up all night.
Yes.
And I like drew the short straw, so I stayed up to watch the sunrise on the beach, and that's what they spent the night doing.
The delirium of staying up all night was carving this watermelon.
That was super fun.
That was so awesome.
Great youth retreat.
Yeah, it was. It was super.
Right.
That was
pretty good. What about you, Taylor? What you got for Abby?
All right, so the first one, Abby is very, very talented, but loves writing icons. She's very great at writing icons. Yeah.
Yeah, painting icons.
I
don't know.
Isn't that correct to say writing?
Interchangeable, yeah.
Yeah,
painting,
maybe.
Writing?
I'm glad you said painting because I was like, oh, no, do they mean something different? I'm going to sound like an idiot on Catholic radio wait a minute. Right? That's really cool. I didn't know that you did that. Mm-hmm. Do you do the whole thing? Do you, like, pray and do all that leading up to it?
I take from a lady... And she's kind of on a sabbatical kind of right now, but she's out of Buckhead, and we all go to her house, and we paint in her dining room that's been transformed into an art studio, and she is amazing and one of my favorite people on this planet.
How do you decide what icons to...
It depends on a lot of things, but she has a bunch of patterns that she's made over probably the course of 30 years that she's done, and so we'll just pick patterns. So I've done the Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Mary Magdalene, Saint Joseph, Our Lady pregnant with Jesus.
That is so cool.
St. Catherine of Siena.
Do you have them up in your house?
Some of them. Some of them I gave away. Some of them are in our house. So each of our kids is an icon, which is pretty cool. So.
That is nice. So cool. The I go to Our Lady of the Mountains up in Jasper.
Yes.
And it is like the most icon-rich parish. It is so beautiful inside. And it's because there's multiple women there who do that and donate
super
them.
Super cool.
It was pretty great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Fun.
But that still only counts as one, Taylor.
The second one, so this is a fun fact about Abby. She was on her high school's dance team.
Great.
And they were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and her picture was taken by the Associated Press, and it like went, I guess, viral in some ways, where she was like plastered all over the place. And it's her, you know.
I could Google it right now.
Yeah, you can Google it right now, and you can find her and see her. Yeah,
that's a fun fact.
Yeah. That is that's a really good fun fact.
You've been like all over the world. Like,
that's true.
Your face all over the world.
You were like the face of the Macy's Day Parade?
Our high school band, our mascot was the Patriots, and so we are the Star Spangled Girls. And that was what it was.
That is really cool. Yeah. All right, I like this. I want to do just a fun fact only episode. Y'all are killing me.
I've got a third.
That's fine.
Another one, which is actually about our grandparents anything.
Yes.
Which is the fact that our grandparents. So I'm originally from California. Abby's from Alabama.
Yeah.
And my grandfather and her grandmother went to the same high school.
Oh, where?
At the same time.
At the same time.
In Chester, Pennsylvania.
Chester, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that is in the yearbook.
Alabama
nor California.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay.
Your maternal grandfather and my paternal grandmother went to the same high school at the same time, too, which is pretty cool.
I'm really glad they didn't fall in love.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
That would have ruined the whole new existing thing.
Yeah, that would have sucked, yeah.
That's really cool. That's a really cool story. All right,
that
I like
is
it.
Super cool.
And you're one of many, many honest-to-God guests who have... a room full of children that you brought along with you, which is beautiful. Praise God. My car, the ignition just went out my truck. It's fixed now, but I had one of those little drive-around locksmith guys come out and fix it. And so I am rocking our 12-passenger Catholic Assault vehicle today, driving around. It's cool, man. I feel like I'm taking over the world in that thing. It's huge. Nissan NV. You feel like you're, you know, invading, I don't know. I was trying to think of a positive invading army. Iraq! No, that wasn't good. We shouldn't have done that. I don't know. It's like you're invading somewhere cool as good guys. That's what I mean. It feels like a tank. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right. So I want to dive in a little bit to this topic. And it's a really, really big topic. But me and Abby and Taylor are going to be quiet. And Polo is just going to explain to us and everybody listening how to find love. Go.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding. But I do want to talk. What I don't want to do is spend the next however long we have just talking about all the things that is wrong with modern Western dating. It's like everything. Everything is wrong, right? Mm-hmm. We can talk. I'm sure that'll come up naturally, but I don't want to spend a whole segment just dunking on what we do now. It's clearly gross. The whole hookup culture is gross. Everything is pretty gross. I want to more talk about it from a positive standpoint, right? Like, what should we be doing? And I'll tell you this, and you guys might be in the same boat. What year were you married?
2016.
Okay, and you're not married.
No. Right? At the time of recording, I'm single.
And we will post a picture of Polo, very handsome fella, in the show notes. So I got married in 2011, and I feel like the entire game changed. I feel like I lost I caught the last chopper out of Nam, right, in regards to the dating world, and it just seems to radically be different now. So I want to talk about the do's, not the don'ts, of dating right now, and I don't know. I'd love for somebody to just jump in here because I don't really have a sticking point to begin. What do you think?
Well, to begin, I've never been engaged. I've never been married. So nothing has stuck yet. But what I can say from my experiences is that I believe the first step as a single person is to really fully develop my relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
As much as I can. Because I've heard from people who are already married that you're never really prepared. 100%. But the time being, it's good to develop that relationship with Christ first, because ultimately you want to find someone whom you both will put him at the center.
Right.
So
how do you do that? Like, what does that mean? And I say this not to
I'm not
trying to do gotchas, but I agree with you 100%. I think about when I was dating my wife, and then we got engaged, and then we got married. I was like a baby Catholic. I had just sort of come into the faith, and I was just kind of like, hey, this girl is really beautiful, and I'm in love with her, and I want to marry her, and this is what I ought to do, because that's what she's doing, and it seems like a great idea. I had a conversion of the mind, sort of, but I would be lying if I said I had like this deep connection to my creator, and I wanted to bring that into a marriage. No. I had intellectually ascended to the faith, and I was desperately in love with Angie. Mm. And so I just kind of grabbed onto her. I was like, I'm never going to let go of you. And cool. This Catholic thing sounds great. We'll do that together. How are you doing that as a single man right now?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I saw a video somewhere online where someone was saying that it's good to make a list of all the things you want in a potential spouse, and then at the very end, become those things.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So if I want to marry someone who reads scripture, who prays the rosary daily, who goes to mass on Sundays, who practices the sacraments, I have to do that first.
I love that. I do. I teach a theology of the body class to 15, 16-year-olds.
Hey.
And one thing that I do every year that's my favorite thing, it's coming up in a couple of weeks in my class, is I have them make a list of 10 non-physical attributes that they find attractive in members of the opposite sex, and then a list of 10 non-physical attributes that they find unattractive in members of the opposite sex. And then I read them all. I don't say, Polo says he likes, but I go through the entire list and read all the boys attractive, all the girls attractive, all the boys unattractive, all the girls unattractive. And the whole idea is to say, like, the things that you really want to be, that's what they're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. All this lame, let me change myself to cool, let me wear these masks, pretend like I'm this and that. Nobody wants that. Nobody likes that. It's gross, right? What we really want in our heart of hearts is a virtuous, good human being, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we really end up. I like that.
100%.
What about you guys? Sort of pre-marriage, right?
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, and I just think we hang out with a lot of young adults and I've worked in youth ministry before, and I sometimes fear that there is this temptation in modern Catholic culture that we've kind of sold a bill of goods to young people saying, okay, well, if you want to get married and if you want a vocation, if you want to sort of earn this prize, you have to hit all these check boxes. Mm. And then if you work really hard enough, maybe you'll get the thing.
Right.
And I fear that sometimes people are like, well, okay, I'm going to go to Mass every day. I'm going to do all these things so that way I can get what I really want in the end, which is a boyfriend or a girlfriend or to get married or to be a priest or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, golly, like we're setting people up for failure because the way that you prepare well for a vocation is just by being an excellent Christian man or woman and becoming a virtuous person. And the fruit of that, perhaps, if it's God's will, is a marriage or a priesthood, a call to priesthood. But I was even just thinking about the big thing in our house right now and across the church, too, is our new saints, right? Mm-hmm. St. Pierre, Giorgio Frassati, St. Carlo Acutis, neither of which were married, neither of which were priests. They were just single, holy men. And, you know, maybe if they had more time on this earth, they would have eventually landed up in a one of these big vocations that we talk about. But they're saints. And it's like, yeah, but the point wasn't to get married. The point wasn't to become a priest in the end. Like, the point was to become a saint, and they did it.
Yes.
They did it. And I don't know. I just think, like, what is the end goal for us? If the end is, like, oh, just to get into a vocation or send people up for failure, because it's like, that's just the beginning. Like, for a lot of people in this journey, if that's their vocation. And, yeah, I just wonder, like, how do we just tell people, but really just if you're single and you're in that lull and you're hoping and praying for this, like, just be an excellent Christian man of God. Like, be an excellent Christian woman of God. Be the person that you'd want to maybe marry one day, but let that be, that's sufficient in and of itself, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, piggybacking off of that, Father Mike Schmitz actually released a video where he talks about how it's not like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's not about where you go or what you do. Ultimately, it's who you become, which is a saint. So 100%.
Yeah, all of our, I tell this to people a lot, right? And once again, everything interesting I've ever said, I stole from somebody who's smarter than me, right? But every human being shares the same primary vocation. Your primary vocation is salvation. That's all, that's what we are all ultimately called for, called to, right? And on our hearts, and it's beautiful, right? This is on our hearts, right? We have a desire, right, for these secondary vocations and then tertiary vocations and so on and so forth, right? But if you don't have that primary vocation, like, which I don't, by the way, like I 100%, I'll be the first person to sit here and say, like, I put a lot of stuff before my own salvation on a regular basis. I have to constantly be slapping myself in the head and be like, stop it, right? You're gonna fail as a father, you're gonna fail as a husband, you're gonna fail in all these things that you really want, desire, and enjoy. If you're not working towards sort of ordering your life towards that ultimate vocation, which is salvation. What do you think, Taylor?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, when I reflect on my time as a young man and as I'm preparing for a vocation, it was really kind of like what Paula was saying, is it's more about working on my relationship with Christ in an intentional way, right? And I just think back to my time, there's a point where I had asked a girl out twice and she said no, and so I was really bitter and I was really upset and I was just like shaking my fist like, what am I supposed to do? And I had this little,
the girl said no to Taylor.
Those of you who are listening, you should see Taylor.
You flatter me.
It's a hard guy to say no to. It's a good looking dude, just saying.
I had this little devotional book, right? And it's like this like masculine devotional book, and I remember opening it up and one of the scripture verses was Psalm 37 verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. And I remember opening it up in like one of these like kind of fits of rage of being just so upset and disappointed that this girl had said no to me, not once but twice. But I almost took it like as an affront. It was like, how dare God say that to me? Like, you want me to delight in you? Okay.
And so give me what I want.
And I remember it was right before Lent, and I decided for Lent, okay, you want me to delight in you? All right, fine. So I decided I was going to go to daily mass, and I was going to pray a holy hour, right, and go to adoration. I remember the first one or two days, I mean, I'm kicking down the door to adoration, being like, yo, I'm delighting, right? But it was this great opportunity for me by the end of that first week just to open myself up more and actually work on my relationship with Christ. And I think it was a great opportunity for me to wrestle with past wounds and things like that and give them to Christ, to really be the man that
I think he was calling me to be, and I felt like this was an important process in that. So that would certainly be, I mean, there's no like magic thing, right? No, it's like just you have to establish that relationship with Christ, because no matter what you're going to be doing, right? No matter what vocation, you're still going to have that relationship with Christ, right?
Well, I love what Abby said about it being like we tend to make it a checkbox, right? Mm-hmm. We say, if I do this and this and this, then Jesus will give me a wife.
Yeah, it's like a formula. Like if I just add up the formula, because that's what we like. We like those things. We like that clarity and that black and white. We don't do well in the gray area, I don't think.
No, well, and as Catholics too, we tend to get really legalistic in a lot of stuff. Yeah. Today, I ended up having a conversation with a 14-year-old for like 10 minutes about whether or not someone was technically a martyr. And I was like, okay, does it really like?
But I need to know.
I need to know if he went to purgatory or if he's in heaven right now. I think that's important. I'm like, what is it? Okay, let's trust in the Lord. But no, that is interesting how we get all caught up in the sort of the legalese of it. I think that young people in particular, and I guess this is more. This might be more a polo question,
because
you guys have been out of the dating game for a little while. Yeah. I hope you still take your wife out, but you know what I mean. My wife is very pregnant. We very seldom. She's very pregnant with a 2-year-old. Similar situation that you guys have been in multiple times.
Yeah.
It's very dates are few and far between. Right. Toddlers ruin dates. Toddlers are really bad.
We like to hang out at our house alone when our kids are all asleep.
That's fun.
We clean our kitchen together. That's our date night.
That's nice.
I have a 13-year-old now, and my 13-year-old. Can now, like, I don't have to hire a babysitter anymore. I'm a 13-year-old. And, my 13-year-old's a boy, so really the rule is, Henry, you take care of yourself. That involves leaving your sisters alone. Just don't look at or talk to or touch your sisters at all.
Yeah, right. But they got it.
Mary Margaret, she's 11. You're in charge of everything else that exists. Right? Henry, like, if a bear gets in the house, Henry, you have to sacrifice your life to save your sisters. Yeah. Other than that, stay away from them the entire time. But I think young people, I think they almost have to rebuild a whole, like, I don't know, like an understanding of what it is to quote unquote date, to quote unquote be in a relationship to, because I think we, and this was true for me. I love my parents to death, right? Yeah. But I did not have much formation at all about the proper way that males and females interacted. And I think we now live in this world, be it just pornography or the objectification of it, whatever it is, we have all these lies that we're constantly being like blast into us about sort of what it even means, what it even is to date somebody else. Somebody answer that question for me. What does it mean? What are you doing?
Yeah, that's a very valid, important question of today's age. Dating for me means intentionally getting to know someone to see if we're compatible for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's different from secular dating in the sense that it's not like, let's see how much fun we have, and then we'll call it quits if it doesn't end up being fun anymore.
Sure.
It's more so like okay, like, we will go out and see if we like each other, but also we'll see if our values align, and if long-term we feel like God is calling us to be together and build a family and help each other become saints and help those kids become saints.
Right.
You know, it's a whole, I wouldn't say burden, but it's definitely a duty.
Yeah, no, I feel like, and you always get looked at like a crazy person when you say this. Now, in sort of Catholic circles, this is less crazy, but dating boils down to marriage tryouts in a big way. And I like the order that you put things in, right? We go out, are we compatible about these very important things? Then long term, let's talk about it, as opposed to we hang out, then we keep hanging out for 6, 8, 12 months, and then all of a sudden I start to ask questions about, like, are you the kind of person who wants to get married? Do you want to have kids? No, I offer, this is real, and I've had about a half dozen young ladies take me up on this before.
Okay.
I have offered my high school students, when they get to college, because it feels weird in high school, but when in college, the ladies, I said, I will take out any guy you're dating, and I will ask him every question. The cost is a basket of wings from Rooster's Cafe in downtown coming. And so I have at least 6, 10, a lot of these guys that have taken out, and I've been like, yo, what's up? Hey, when's the last time you looked at pornography? Hey, what's your relationship like with your mom? Like,
yeah,
tell me about Jesus a little bit. And it's amazing.
Love that.
But I think those are first date questions. I really do. I think
they are.
You should dig into all of that right away.
You should put like an ad in the Georgia Bulletin that you do that.
That's a great idea.
You know? Yeah. I'll just come be your vetting.
Let your boyfriend take me out.
That's right.
I'll ask him every question that your dad ought to. And you should have brought up on the first date.
Totally.
I like that. I don't know. I guess more, I'm interested in this concept of sort of like, how do we re-educate when I think probably a lot of us were poorly educated on what this stuff. How do we do that? How do we do that with a whole culture, a whole society that has just totally lost like an understanding of what healthy male female relationship dynamics look like in the romantic world? Yeah. Like, how do we do that?
I was gonna say, I also wonder too if it matters what state in life you're in as far as like your age, right? Because I know we have many people who are in their late 30s, almost sure. early 40s, you know, late 20s that are not married and haven't been dating. And I think that looks very different from someone who's like 19 and in college, sure. you know?
Totally.
Because we have friends that are in their mid 30s and they're like, yeah, I don't need 6 dates to know that I want to marry you or not. And I'm also like on a faster timeline because I'm established, I got this and that. And so we know people who've gotten married later in life and they got married within 6 months of knowing this person or a year. Because they're like, yeah, I'm just ready to start life with you, and I know it, and let's just go. Let's just go for it.
Right.
But then I know, like, for us, you know, we met when I was 18 and you were 21. We didn't feel this pressure of, like, we got to get married tomorrow. You know, like, we had some time. We didn't waste a lot of time. I think we had been dating for 2 years before we got engaged, which is even, you know, a pretty short timeline for how young we were. But I also think that that's a big piece, too, is how old are you and what state in life are you in and how, like, really ready and serious are you for it? And if you've got time on your side, I guess, is another thing, too. Because people who are maybe a little bit younger can afford to wait a little bit longer. Not saying you need to wait forever, but you've got time if you're in college and you want to date for a little bit.
State of life stuff, right? I understand the idea of, hey, I can't afford to take care of this human being or this other person that I'm in love with, or I can't, like, I don't have a job lined up or whatever, and it makes sense to sort of sit around. But I get that when you're 40. And that's another thing. I have no idea. I was talking to Angie about this the other day. If Angie, I don't know, God forbid, died or something tomorrow, I don't know how anybody dates outside of college anymore. I've never had a girlfriend since I was 19 years old. Last time I had a girlfriend,
that's kind of how I feel.
19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, yeah.
I don't know what I would do.
No, yeah. No,
well, the whole next segment, Polo is just going to talk all about what do you do? What do you do now? I really do want to dig into that. I want to talk about, I used to be the most anti like dating app guy in the world. But I did a number of these episodes where I was talking with people who had really great, beautiful, healthy experiences on the dating app. So we're going to go to break in about 45 seconds. Any last-minute thoughts before we jump off? You look like you had something to say, and I felt bad cutting you off.
I have a lot to say, but I don't know if I can do it in 45 minutes. But, yeah, there's definitely, in today's age, there's definitely some resources that you can turn to.
Oh.
And I'm excited to talk about it after the break.
After the break. See, you should do our outro for us. Polo's killing it. All right, guys, this is a lot of fun. Taylor, Abby, Polo, thank you guys so much for being here. We are going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to be right back continuing talking about looking for love in all the right places. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show going on with us today. We got Polo in the studio. Ladies, once again, very, very good looking, very handsome, really a virtuous man. His Instagram's going to be dropped below. We got Abby and we got Taylor, who are sacramentally bound to one another till one of them dies. So that's neat. And we're continuing our conversation.
And they were both wearing blue.
They are.
Yeah, we didn't even plan that. We got dressed first.
That is a shirt that I feel like you should wear bowling. I think it's a good bowling shirt.
I have worn it bowling.
It looks like a bowling shirt. Yeah. Which is a compliment, by the way. Yeah. There's no shade, man. No shade was thrown.
That's another fun fact about you. You're really good at bowling. I mean, really good at bowling.
Oh, you give really good at bowling vibes, for sure.
But I'm not like one of those who can do the weird spinny.
No, but I mean, like,
I just kind of
really
like
good.
Down the middle.
Really good at bowling.
I can't bowl. Force. I can't ice skate. I've gone bowling. I've never gone ice skating.
It's fun. I like it. Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I feel like if we went on, like, after that, like, undersell, I feel like we would go on YouTube and there's pictures of you, like, doing pirouette. Like,
full blown, like, yeah.
It
was actually the Winter Olympics in 2018, right?
If you're into that kind of thing.
He's bowling got a, rally, like, a unitard and, yeah. Awesome.
No, I didn't grow up. There was no ice anywhere. I'm from rural South Georgia. No natural ice, no ice rinks, no nothing.
Yeah, actually, where did you learn to ice skate first? Because you're from California.
It was when I was on Net Ministries.
Oh, I know.
Oh, no, Net Ministries.
Yeah, I was stationed in Minnesota the entire year. And, of course, when you're up in Minnesota, you know, you got to learn how to
The Soviet People's Republic of Minnesota. Heck yeah. Big fans of our Red Brothers to the North. Not like their politics, but them as human beings, right? They are also, fun fact, made in the image and likeness of God, just like we are, even if they keep electing crazy people. Exciting thing about Minnesota. All right, I want to hit the ground running because we got a lot to talk about. I think we left off the last segment talking about sort of like resources, right? Like
resources.
Where do you go and where do you look? Once again, we've got a whole narrative. We have, what, how many years since our sexual revolution of the 70s, right? 50-some-odd years of deprogramming humanity, the Western world, from what was naturally ordered towards truth and beauty and goodness for the past, I don't know, 12,000 years or so since we discovered agriculture. How do we do that? How do we reprogram ourselves the way we're supposed to be programmed initially? You said you had some stuff below.
Yes, sir. So let's talk about some resources that we can look at in today's age.
And we'll put these in the show notes.
Okay. So the first one I wanted to talk about was The Dating Blueprint by Jason Everett.
Oh, yeah, big fan.
So he's a big chastity speaker, and he's a really great speaker.
Oh, he's amazing. And his wife, who doesn't get as much credit because she's been busy having babies, is phenomenal. Crystalina Everett is, like, the coolest person. I show her to my Theology of the Body kids every year. She's got some killer talks out there.
Yeah.
Jason's fine, too. Yeah.
But, yeah, shout out to both of them.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he wrote a book specifically for guys about basically for lack of better words, the basics of dating. So he broke it down with what I think is the most important thing that he spoke about was the clarity aspect,
okay,
especially clarity in communication.
Mm-hmm.
When you attempt a relationship, make it very clear. Like, you know, say, I don't remember if he said this in the book. Forgive me if I'm quoting someone else, but I believe it said something about asking on a date.
Use the word date, not, do you want to go to the park with me? Do you want to go get a cup of coffee? Is that what you're saying? Like,
it's like, be intentional.
Right, clarity of communication. Yeah.
Right, and then the same thing when you're going to tell the person that you're not wanting to see them again.
Mm.
Do not ghost.
Yeah.
Do not ghost. But be upfront and say, hey, it's been great getting to know you, but I don't see this moving forward.
Right. Mm.
So clarity on both ends if you're not called to marry
each other. Why are we so bad at that? Because I feel like we are so bad at that as a society now.
I think we're afraid of hurting people's feelings. I think that's a big piece of it. Yeah. But clarity's charity, you know? Like, we're actually loving someone well when we're very clear with them.
I give this homecoming is coming up at my school, and I just gave the talk the other day, the whole homecoming talk about, like, guys, this is, if you're going to ask a girl on dance, first of all, you don't have to. All you're doing is asking her to dance. You're not asking her to love and honor you all the days of your life. Calm down, right? You're not asking her to bear your children, etc. But the whole just look them in the eye and say, will you go to homecoming with me? And that's a hard ask for some guys.
Yeah.
It's interesting, right? They're desperate to just hide behind a screen and text it or something.
Yeah.
But I just publicly shame the idea of doing that so that the boys then don't. They refuse to do it. It's nice because I call them cowards. And
Yeah, because I think
before the fact, not afterwards.
Jason Everett mentioned in his book that he had a girlfriend, I think, in college or somewhere in school, and he said that when they broke up, she revealed to him that she was disappointed he never asked her out or never asked her to be his girlfriend.
Oh, interesting.
So that...
Yeah.
So...
Clarity.
Clarity.
Yeah, I like that. I like it. What was the other one that you were mentioning during the break?
So there's two more that I wanted to talk about. The second one was The Sacred Spark by Emily Wilson.
Yeah.
Who's also another big Catholic speaker.
Yep.
Yeah, she is amazing. Her and her husband are coming up with an app. At the time of recording, has not released yet. But the really cool thing about it is it has a resource on Dating 101. Yeah. And it has, like, some questions that you can introspect with, like,
interesting. Okay,
look into yourself and ask yourself, like, am I dating out of desperation, out of need? So essentially, it gives a lot of introspective questions that you can use to analyze as to, like, why am I dating?
Right.
Like, am I in this for the right reasons? Mm.
Totally.
Yeah. It's just so funny to me. Like, I think all this is great. I'm glad these resources exist. I think it's super cool. It's just so interesting to me that we live in a society where we have to be like, all right, everybody, slow your roll. Like, this is how we do these things that everyone has always done. And yeah, I guess historically speaking, you didn't have dating like we have in the modern context.
Right.
But it's wild. Also, totally off topic, fun fact, Emily Wilson's dad, this is true, you can look it up, is Biff from Back to the Future.
Yes.
Wait,
yes.
In real life.
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Judging by this, this is all we're talking about the rest of the episode. Good luck finding the spouse guy. Anyway, yeah, he is like super duper Catholic in real life, and Emily Wilson's dad.
Totally.
Wow. Never knew. Wow.
Yeah.
I know. Yes. Friend of the show. Biff from Back to the Future. Yeah. He's actually going to be on the next segment.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Biff. If you look at it differently, it wasn't quite as bad as you thought. That's the message that we have for you from Biff.
Going back to the clarity thing, it was actually...
I'm sorry. Back to the thing that I'm on the show to talk about. Yeah, totally.
It was actually Paul J. Kim, another Catholic speaker, who said, who I saw on Instagram or somewhere on his YouTube channel, where he encouraged guys to say date.
Yeah.
Don't say hang out. Say date. Because that way, if you go out, the girl's not texting you like, oh, by the way, is this a hangout as friends or is this a date?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you prevent all that awkwardness if you just use date. So as an example, would you like to go on a coffee date versus do you want to hang out and get some coffee?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I think clarity is such a, and not just in the romantic world, right? In all aspects, clarity of speech. And that's something I struggle with too. I've worked in a number of private schools over the years. I got real good at politicking and saying stuff in a meeting where I got my point across without, and there's a time and a place for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That time is not when you're pursuing potential, like, partners for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right. I think that clarity really matters. Yeah.
I think you can be clear without freaking somebody out.
Sure.
Because I think that's the other thing is a lot of times we use casual words like hang out because, well, I want to know this is low pressure. Mm-hmm. This is low key because I don't want you to scare you by saying, if you go on a date with me, that means I would like to marry you tomorrow. You know, and I think sometimes, especially guys, if they're asking someone out, I'm assuming, I'm not a guy, I don't know, but I think they want to come across as not freaking this girl out.
Right.
And that's why they're tempted to maybe use that language. But I do think that girls would rather hear the word date than a hangout. I think they would appreciate that clarity, even though it might feel intense. And I don't think the guys want to come across as intense.
Yeah.
I also think we live in a world right now where so many guys are desperate to not be seen as like creepy.
Totally. Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Or anything like that.
Right.
And so it's really a fine line that you're having to walk all the time to make sure you're saying, listen, I'm not some pervy weirdo guy.
Exactly. I'm CYA. Yeah.
I feel like it's a matter of how you say it versus what you say.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you don't have to like put intensity into it, like, oh, I will take you out on a date. No, it's like, well, I mean, if you want to, if that's your personality, but you know, just casually, like, just, you know, like, hey, like, I feel like, you know, I like talking to you, but do you want to go on a coffee date?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing I get into a lot with talking, I mean, literally, I just did this last week, that's why I keep talking about the asking to dances thing, which I think is a good microcosm of everything else, is it's what you're doing when you're a guy. The reason that the guys are the ones who ask the girl on the date to begin with is because it takes a little bit of fortitude, like a little bit of courage to walk out there, because the answer can be no. And he's walking out there and he might, Taylor
knows.
As
of experience, there is a, having asked girls out and saying yes and having said, you know, been said no to, right? Like there is this part of you that as a man that you are putting yourself out there in a lot of ways, and it takes a certain amount of courage to do that. I remember my heart pumping like right, just to get out the words, even though I'm trying as best as I can to be, you know, talk normal and not be so nervous. And would you like to go on a date with me? And I was very, you know, when I was asking Abby out and whatnot, I was very intentional with that of saying that as well, because I think really in a lot of ways, I assume she appreciated it, right? So that she knew exactly where I stood, right?
Sure.
Like, and what I actually meant by my words. Yeah. And I think that's really important. So I certainly resonate with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Abby, as the only female in the room, right? Can you give us some, like, I don't know, just sort of the feminine perspective, right? For the girl being asked out by a guy, like, I don't know, be it... hints we ought to ask the girl out versus hints that we absolutely should not ask the girl out versus what X means when you say it, because we think it's Y and we're confused and our hearts are pumping and Taylor's pouring sweat. And
I will say, okay, so I did not date a lot of guys when I was in high school, really ever. And I think, and I'm really proud of that, actually. Yeah, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Because I think what that told me as I got older was, I think I carried myself in such a way that guys knew that I wasn't going to put up with certain things, and they just didn't even try it, you know. And I really am proud of myself, actually. But I did have a high school boyfriend, and then there was another guy when I went to Franciscan that I kind of had this little situation crush.
I hate both of them, Taylor. Yeah. I can't stand either of those guys.
But I will say, having not a ton of dating experience before I met Taylor, Taylor's clarity and intention did not creep me out, first of all. So I will say, like, it did not come across as creepy to say, hey, I really like spending time with you, and I'd like to date you, or I'd like to go have dinner with you. And then it was actually our second date was we went to a dance together. Nice. So he asked me to this dance. And then on our third date, you asked me to go on this third date. That was when you told me, like, I want to be your boyfriend.
Heck yeah.
And
said the word.
I would like for you to be my girlfriend. That was on our third date. But I will say, like, I think girls want to feel chosen.
Right.
They want to feel preferred. And I think when it's too casual, it feels like, well, I'm just the best option right now. But if something better comes along, maybe I'm just going to ditch this thing because it was low key anyway.
Right.
And I'm going to go on to this.
Interesting. Sure.
And so I think women like that feeling of that almost level, that first step of commitment, because it's saying, like, yeah, I want to be with you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be with you, actually. I don't want to just hang out and get coffee and be friends and see what happens. I think there's a level of that just in dating in general, but
there's an attractiveness to decisiveness.
Yes, I want to. Yeah, you've preferred me to. You could have had other girls. You could have asked other girls on date, but you didn't. You asked me.
Yeah.
And then you're choosing to follow up with me on that. Mm. And I think that makes girls feel very loved and honored and special. I mean, I did. And I think other girls do too. Like, they want to feel chosen and preferred by the men that love them. Yeah.
That's really good.
That's why we got married, you know?
Yeah. So this is sort of in line with that. We were talking about this during the break, right? There's a fine line, and I want to see if we can find it, right, between, like, sort of having standards and being too picky. And I see that on both sides. I talk to and work with a lot of, like, college-age young men, and a lot of times I'm like, dude, you're, like, really boxing yourself in here. You're holding girls to the standard that you would never want them to hold you to. But it's good to have standards, right? I'm glad, like, I don't know. How do we do that? How do we manage that? And I think a lot of it is sort of there's personal preference because you're allowed to have that, right?
Right.
For the record, this is a little rabbit hole, but having somebody who shares your faith and shares your values, I would argue, is a must, right?
Yes.
That being said, you should also be really attracted to that person. Like, you should be attracted to them.
Yes.
I know a lot of people, not a lot, but I've had conversations with people before, who have broken up with someone who was great, objectively awesome, and they were like, but I'm just, like, not that into them. I'm just not interested in them. And I know they're amazing. I know they're doing this and that, and, you know, God bless them. They're going to be a saint in heaven one day. They're going to make somebody very happy. It just ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
And that's okay, right? But what is that line between being obnoxiously picky and holding yourself to some standards? Maybe we could start by, what are some standards that someone ought, a young adult ought to have? What do you think? I know this is a contentious one. You see the stuff online where you see the girls who will say 6'4".
Oh, God.
200K or more a year.
Trust fund.
All this stuff, right? Yeah.
Okay, I will say, we always make this joke about, if you had to submit a resume for marriage on paper, like, we would be the least compatible people on earth. Just from, like, all these different perspectives of, like, our personalities, where we came from, our families, just general things. But I think a part of that is that it works so well because we're very different. Sure. And I think the person I had in my mind of who I thought I was going to marry, Taylor surpasses that person a hundredfold, you know? But I think if I had boxed myself in, like you're saying, of, like, well, these are things I just really, really need to have, or, like, what I thought what it would be like, I would have missed out on someone really excellent, you know, if I had not opened my mind up to being surprised by the Lord and, like, who he had in store for me. And so I think, there is a tension of definitely someone who shares my values, someone who I can honestly be friends with. I think this is the secret of marriage that we don't really talk a lot about is, you know, your good looks are going to come and go. Like, you're going to gain weight and get wrinkles and have gray hair. Sure. And, like, all those things are going to go away. And romance is going to come and go. Mm-hmm. But the friendship that happens in marriage is the thing that makes it last forever. I really do think. And so, like, I see our grandparents, the people who have married for 50-plus years, and it's like, yeah, but they're friends. And, like, that's, I think, the longevity of marriage. So I think sometimes we have all these great standards, but I'd say, like, yeah, can I be... have this deep friendship with this person? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then I think it's a waste of your time, because eventually some of those things that you once thought were excellent standards or important to you, maybe they're going to fade over time, or you're going to lose them. And like, the person you marry is going to change, whether you like it or not. They just are. Like, marriage changes people in good ways, in excellent ways. Like, we get better and better. But I think, yeah, we were box ourselves in a lot of ways, and not meet people that God has in store for us if we're too narrow-minded.
Right, but I want to be narrow-minded a little bit, because I want to build the box right now. Because there is a box.
Totally.
There is a box, right? Like, I mean, neo-Nazi prison gang member. That should be a no-go. But I would like it to be a little narrower than right? Not just if they work as an enforcer for the Sinaloa drug cartel, I'm not going to date them, right? Like, let's build a box a little bit, because I think it does matter, right, to some extent. So I would agree, and you guys can disagree with me on this one. I feel strongly about it, and there's my own, you know, biases at play for sure. No, this is doctrinal, but no, go ahead.
No, it just came to me, like, what is her relationship with her parents, with her siblings? Like, how does she talk about, like, you know, former loves?
Right.
Like, does she talk crap about everyone in her life, or does she talk lovingly in a way where she respects, even when they're not here?
Sure. Yeah. No, totally. I think, and you guys can tell me I'm wrong if you want to, I think shared faith is the most important thing in the world. And a lot of people will say and disagree with me, and I've gotten some pushback on this before, even publicly, right? Like, obviously, there are people who are non-Catholics who are great people, who are good people. I think it tends to be a bridge too far to say I'm going to date this person seriously if they are either not Catholic or have no openness to the faith whatsoever. Mm. It does happen, but I think it's almost a...
It's hard, though.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself up for some hard things ahead.
Well, and your children and everything else. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, please. I was going to say, what else?
Yeah. I was going to say, especially if you're trying to find someone who's aligned with the Catholic faith, that includes everything. Like contraception, like, what are their beliefs on sex before marriage?
Right.
Those are tough conversations to have on the dating process, but it certainly is one of those standards as well, at least for me. Like, as if someone does not agree on those fundamental things, then I cannot be with that person.
Well, especially with some of those moral issues too, it does become a near occasion of sin almost, right? Mm-hmm. If I was talking to a group of girls a while back, and I was saying you should not, and let me get the whole thought out before, you know, people jump on me, right? You shouldn't date a guy who's willing to wait for you, right? You shouldn't date a guy who is who says that he's respecting the fact that you're willing to wait. You should date a guy who also is saying, no, me too, right? That is a commitment that I am making, because if, you know, Johnny says to Susie says, hey, I'm not going to have sex until I get married. And Johnny's like, I respect that. Mm. Right? Like, what that really means is Johnny is waiting in the shadows until Susie has a moment of weakness. Right? I'm serious. Right? Right? There are certain moral things you need to be compatible on.
Totally.
Or else, because we're human beings, and we have concupiscence, and we have moments of weakness, and we need the other person to build us up.
100%.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think? I don't know if this is controversial or not, but what do you think about the vocation of the single life? Do you think there's a vocation to just being single in perpetuity?
Yeah, I mean,
talk about it.
We spoke briefly on the two saints, Saint Carlo Acutis and Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. Yeah. You know, one of my good friends said to me once, and I'm paraphrasing her because I can't remember her exact quote, but she basically said, if God were to call me today, or like me, would my life be a failure if I never got married?
Mm. Interesting. Okay.
And the answer should be no, it's not a failure.
Right.
Because, I mean, the truth is, not all of us are called to marriage.
Sure. Right.
So we need to live our lives with the ultimate goal of trying to meet Jesus in heaven.
Right.
It's not just about, oh, like, I need to prepare myself for someone. It's like, I have to prepare myself for me.
I feel like a lot of times, you'll hear it preached sort of that the vocation to single life and just being by yourself is like that is something that's legitimate. And I'm not saying that if you're not in a religious vocation or married that your life is illegitimate. But what I am saying is that living for yourself is no one's vocation, right? If you live a single life for other people, and I know a number of people, I've worked with people like, who've dedicated their life to X, Y, or Z, right? Catholic education or some ministry or whatever. And a spouse never came along and they never felt called to the convent or the priesthood. And that's beautiful. And that is great. And I get that, right? But I think that we need to be careful when we talk about a vocation to like the single life. That does not mean you have a vocation to just live for yourself and work and go on vacation all the time and make money and get drinks with your college friends occasionally and take care really good care of your cats, right? No, that's no one's vocation. That's not a vocation that someone has, right? Your vocation, all of our vocations definitionally are to live for other people. That's what becoming a man, becoming a woman is sort of turning, C.S. Lewis talks about that mirror that we're born, or maybe it's Chesterton, that mirror we're born with is looking at us, and maturity is turning that mirror around to reflect other people, and it's really hard, right? I'm a father and a husband, and I still am just so incredibly selfish all the time. So I just wanted to draw that distinction in single life. Brass tacks. We got about 5 minutes left. I know we opened up with all this really great stuff about, yes, your identity, I agree, should be rooted in Christ first, all those things. That's what's most important. But hypothetical scenario, I'm 32, 33 years old. I really feel like I'm called to be a father, or really feel like I'm called to be a mother. I want to meet people. I want to find a good human being to get married to. Brass tacks. How do I do that? What's some advice?
Get out there.
Leave your house.
Yes.
No, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, we have several friends who are in their 30s and they're not married, and all of them are doing things outside of just their job, whether that's they're involved. Like, I'm thinking of one of my closest friends here is unmarried, and she is in a pickleball league, and she volunteers at her parish youth ministry. Awesome. She's a therapist. Like, she's out there living her life, and she's in a book club. Like, you know, she's doing all these things, and she's putting herself in front of other people, not even just really to like find a spouse necessarily, but she's making a gift of herself in her community, in her parish. And she's not, this navel-gazing, inward-looking person who's just sitting at home waiting for her husband to knock on her door and come and get her on super off her feet. She's like, no, like, my life still has a great purpose and meaning, and I'm going to get out there and make a gift of myself just as I am, and I'm not just going to put my life on hold until this thing happens.
Right.
And I just think that that's really excellent advice for someone who's 19, but also someone who's 40 and unmarried, or if they're single and they're just in this limbo sort of. Don't let put your life on hold just waiting for this thing to show up. Like, just go out and live and make a gift of yourself. Join a book club, or like get a hobby, like do something.
Challenge yourself in some ways.
Live an excellent life. Get out there and live.
Exactly.
You know?
I love that. That's awesome advice.
Yeah.
I always, the one thing I always throw out here is, do the types of things that the person you would want to marry would be doing.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So
yes.
Volunteer with the youth ministry. Go on a mission trip. Yeah. Go do whatever it is, right? Go do that thing.
Yep. I can and promise maybe you that youth ministers are looking for chaperones to their trips.
No, I think that's...
We need your gifts. Like,
that's huge.
We need the gifts of people who are in a single season of life. We need those people in the church for sure.
Awesome.
To give their gifts.
All right, we're almost at time, but before we do, I really have a married question, a question for the married couple. How long have you been married? 2016, was that almost 10 years?
Almost 10 years, almost 10 years.
All right, if you go back in time, easy question, softball, and give little bitty unmarried bachelor Taylor and little bitty unmarried bachelorette Abby some advice, what would you say before you got married? Going into marriage, right? You're engaged. Tomorrow you're getting married. You get to walk in there and sit down beside yourself on the bed while you're contemplating tomorrow. What advice do you give 10 years in?
That's a different story, actually.
I had it. I just lost it.
I had it.
And it was great.
It's coming back.
It was right there.
It's coming back. Oh, no, I know. It's going to get... Everything is going to get better with time.
So much better.
Much better. And I think I would look at people who were... I don't know, my parents' age, and I was like, oh, that's gross. People have been married forever. That's weird. You know, whatever. I'm like, there's no way that people always have this. I thought it was a cliche of like, you know, it only gets better, and I love this person even more than I did when I married him. And I was like, that's so dumb. You know, I just did not believe that. And I think that's so true. Like, you think you love this person now, mm-hmm. but you just have no idea.
I always think of that cheesy Brad Paisley song, "I Thought I Loved Her Then." Right, and I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Me, when I was 21, I didn't even know what love was, girl. What was I even doing? Why would you marry that idiot?
Yes.
Yeah, and now, yeah, totally.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get, not that it was bad. It was awesome. It was so great. And I thought, like, it can't get better than this. It really can't. And it just has. Like, God has been so faithful to us, for sure. Hmm. It just gets way better.
Did it come back, Taylor?
Yeah, it did, and I feel like I just lost it again. But I remember this, thinking this might be controversial. I don't know that. Oh, here it was that it's not the end, right? This isn't like the end all be all. I think sometimes we have marriage as like this pedestal of like sure. this is
you've
this
made
is
it. It.
You've made it. You're gonna be whole,
like, happily
like,
ever after.
I still have the virtues and vices, right, that I have been struggling with my entire life. I just have someone that I bear it all in all humility with. Now she sees the good, the bad, the ugly.
Oh, that's right? Beautiful.
And in a huge way, in that it's okay. Like, if I could go back and tell little Tay then, like, it's okay
to have that. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, marriage doesn't fix you.
Yeah.
And that is all the time we have for today. Time flies. That's amazing, guys. Sorry, I hate to cut you off, but we got to go. Thank you guys so much for being here, ladies and gentlemen. Home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. Over now.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.